It's the same thing with a blog. You want to answer questions that people have online. Put those questions on social media. Like, people will look up those questions. You just want to make sure that those questions are tied to your content into your website and you have a call to action. So when they read that content, they want to call you. What you don't want to do is just start creating content just for the sake of creating it. It's like, hey, I'm going to write a blog post or create videos on abscesses this month. It's like, why? Right?
Right,
Like, let's look
right.
at the analytics. Let's understand what people are actually looking for in your area and then create content based on that.
Welcome to Austin, Texas, and welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. So what's the most powerful tool in our marketing toolkit? Take a second if you want to think about it. If you guessed website, you are correct. But it's not just any website. It has to be dynamic, content rich, and it has to be a lead generating machine that works for you 24/7. The reality is, if your website hasn't been updated in months or worse, years, Google notices and penalizes. A stale, outdated site will drop you in search rankings, making it harder for potential patients to find you online. In this episode, we'll talk about why keeping your website fresh with content that matches what people are actively looking for is critical, not just for visibility, but for converting visitors into leads and leads into new patients. Our guest is Brandon Bosch, president and founder of Doctor Marketing. He is a certified marketing expert in Google and Meta advertising, and he works specifically with dental practices. You can find Brandon by visiting his website, drmarketing.io. Before we bring in our guest, I do want to say that if you're enjoying these episodes and want to support the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be the first to know about our new releases, and our entire production team will really appreciate it. Brandon, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Phil. Happy to be here.
So it wasn't that long ago when dentists were asking one another, do I really need a website for my practice? Fast forward 25 years, and now the question is, how important is it to a dental practice to have a well-designed website? So we all know you have to be on the internet. You have to have a presence on the internet as a dental practice. The question is it important for it to be really well-designed? Does that make a difference? What's your response?
Yes, it has to be well-designed, right? It's there are websites that are still online that are 20 years old. Imagine those functioning. Limited content, it doesn't format correctly to the device size, it doesn't load correctly, glitches with the technology, right? So having something that's easy to use, easy to function, formats correctly, as well as having information that's easily accessible or being able to be easily found from their website, right from their homepage, or even from Google. Like, you can go straight to a sub page within your website if you just know what keywords to type in. You type in like dental implants near me or like root canal near me, and like it'll go straight to that sub page within your website. So yeah, it's incredibly important to make sure that your website stays updated as time goes on.
So you and your company work exclusively with dental practices. So you have a lot of experience understanding the marketing, the mindset, how busy a dentist is, and everything else. When a dental site, a dental website is outdated, does the dentist understand it's time to revamp it? And do they know what to do? Or does it go on longer than it should? I mean, if there are blogs up there that are 4 years old, and like you said, the technology is not working correctly, it's pretty obvious to most of us that the site has to be redone. But if a dentist isn't paying attention, it could stay up longer than it should. What are you finding?
Sure. So typically, dental office owners do not even look at their website, like 99.9% of them. They put something up, they have a friend or family member do it, and then it's really never looked at again for years, which is a sad truth. And like, if we're just talking about the blog component of it, I'll get into the design in just a second, but if we talk about the blog component of it, blogs are built through something called an RSS feed. And so if the RSS feed is basically a piece of technology that says when something is republished, it sends a signal to search engines to come back and scan the website. If the content if the website does not produce content on a regular basis, the RSS feed becomes stagnant, which means that you've lost credibility with the search engine. So it's very important to make sure that if you do create a blog on the website, that you keep it updated on a consistent basis. Very, very, very important. So dentists, when they do take a look at their website, really, they just have to make sure that it's something that they themselves, they try have to try to recuse themselves from being the actual dentist and try to imagine themselves as the patient. How would you, like, would you engage with this? Right. And so that's why if you get a lot of clicks, but not really a lot of like leads coming in, it's probably because the vibe of your website doesn't match the vibe of your audience that's viewing it. And so depending on the area that you're in, geographically speaking, or the demographics of the area that you're actually in, it could be a geriatric area, it could be very family oriented, could be a high tech downtown Toronto or Los Angeles area, where you need to match the vibe of the area that you're in. And that's what a lot of dentists don't realize, is that they build websites not knowing their demographics or their geographics. And so it's very important to make sure that you're building a website that is modern to the area that you're actually in, so it matches the vibe of the people that are around you.
We'll be right back with our guest, but first, I want to tell you about Voco's newest composite, Grandioso 4U. Top clinicians are calling it the most tooth-like universal composite ever made. Unlike traditional composites that force you to choose between either an anterior aesthetic composite, a stronger layering posterior composite, or a fast but aesthetic compromising bulk fill, Grandioso 4U does it all, simplifying your workflow while delivering superior results in a single material. It cures 4 millimeters in just 10 seconds, looks stunning with 5 cluster shades covering all 16 Vita shades, and handles like a dream with 50% less resin. It's a 91% filled nano hybrid, giving you tooth-like strength, ultra-low shrinkage, exceptional wear resistance, and an amalgam-like high radio opacity. So as they say, seeing is believing. So grab your free sample of Grandioso 4U today at voco.dental. That is an excellent point. I'm not sure dentists are fully aware of that, how important it is to cater to the community that they're working in through their website. What do you think of websites that are more of a template? That was very popular, it still is, when the websites were becoming routine for dental offices back in the day. You could upload a custom picture, you can choose a custom background, and it looks kind of different, but it's all from a SaaS model, software as a service model. They pay a monthly fee. Are you still a proponent of doing it through a template?
So the word template has a lot of negative connotations around it, because people think that template, this website's going to look like everybody else's. But in the web design world, a template is just a term we use to streamline a design process. So it doesn't mean that the content is going to be the same on the website, like the actual verbiage itself or even the pictures, but the way that the website is actually structured. So if I put together a website and I say the header goes up here, the logo's on this side, the phone number's on that side with the navigation here, that structure, I can put somebody else's logo in there, somebody else's color along the back, somebody else's phone number, different navigation tabs, but it's built, the structure is built in a specific way. So the actual structure itself, there's only so many ways that you can put the logo there. The logo goes here, the logo goes here, right. The logo goes there, right? So either way, like there are certain pieces of websites that will be template. Even if you built a custom website, there are pieces of it that will just be templated. And so custom coding doesn't have to be required when we're saying, all right, the logo is going to go on that side for a template or for a custom website. That's where it's going to go. So we can streamline a design process. So I would just say, don't get too hung up on the word template versus custom. All you have to really do is just pick a structure that you like, and then just manipulate the content, colors, and imagery, and you'll be good. It doesn't have to be fully custom. It doesn't have to be fully templated. You can find somewhere in between where you've got templated design, but then work in some animations into it.
For the most part, with your experience in this, and you came from a marketing background, and then you developed your company, Dr. Marketing, which is really phenomenal that you're focused on the dental space. What do you think visitors are mostly looking for? What are they prioritizing in their mind when they go to a dental practice website? Are they looking to meet the team? Are they looking to go to learn more about a particular procedure?
You know, it's interesting. It's actually, it doesn't even have to be a thought. It's based on solely analytics. So there's analytics for everything. I can see analytics for what pages are your most popular ones, how long they stay, what pages they click on, if they actually submit their contact information on specific pages, what keywords they typed in, what device they're searching on. Like, there's literally analytics for everything. The top pages that we find are obviously going to be the homepage of the website. It's going to be the contact page of the website. pretty much anything to do with kids, right? Like the kids pages across every subspecialty within dentistry are also very popular. But when we go and actually take a look at it, usually there's only one or two services that are really popular on a website. Emergencies are going to be big. Emergencies are going to be big. Obviously, on an orthodontic website, you would think that it would be braces or Invisalign as an example, but no, it's usually orthodontic emergencies. So I got a poking wire or something like that. So if you're going to build a website, just make sure you're focusing part of that website. It doesn't have to be on every page, but part of the website solely on emergencies, because that's going to go a long way. Financing as well, and insurance pages also do quite well.
What about the bio of the doctor? Like when I'm looking for an orthopedic surgeon because I had trouble with my shoulder, I read the bio because I want to know what school he went to, or she went to. Is that important for dentists, what their education is?
Not for the average dentist. If you're an oral surgeon or a specialist, right? Endo, perio, ortho, maybe, but like most people don't even look at the bio. Most people don't even read the content of a website. When the average person comes to a website, the only thing that they do is they look at the top, they look at the design. If the design is appealing to them, the vibe of the website, they're going to stick on it. They'll read the titles of your website. So your H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, H6 headers, they won't read any of the content. Or if they do, they're going to just skim the first sentence. They'll read the title. It's like, yep. And then they'll decide to move on within 10 seconds. They'll decide to move on. So when it comes to the bio, really, it's only really effective when you're a specialist within dentistry. Or oral surgeons usually have the biggest bio reads, but most other, like general, peds, denturists, ortho, like not at all. Like the pages, they just don't get clicked on. The patients don't particularly care. It's the vibe of the website that they mostly are interested in.
Yeah, and that's true with a lot of retail operations. When you walk into a store, Nike spent millions of dollars designing their stores, many of which were losing money in New York City, every month, the rent in, I don't know if it was in Times Square or where it was. These stores are just literally to bring the visitor in. It lures them into their world of what products they sell. So getting back to the dental website, you're telling us that most of the visitors don't care about the bio that much, except for specialists. But content is important though, because the SEO is regarded as being important and you want people to find your website. So tell us how important content is and how does a dentist keep it refreshed? Because if it's stale, the dental website will be penalized and patients who are looking for dentists won't find you, on the top of the list.
It is very important. So if you take a look at all the keywords that people type in online, right? If you look at something called Google Search Console, basically it's a free system that you can plug into your website that tells you all the keywords people type in and how they find you. And so if you take a look at those, 50% of the keywords that people search are like dentist near me, open now, open weekends, dentist around Main Street. The other 50% of the keywords that people type in are actual questions. Why are my teeth yellow? Why aren't my teeth straight? How do I fix a cracked tooth from home? Right. And so those sorts of questions are answered through a blog, or they would be answered through video, right? If you like what we're doing right now, if we just sat in front of a camera for 90 seconds, recorded a video, stuck it on YouTube, and optimized the video, meaning like if anybody is looking for how to fix a cracked tooth from home, like this is the video that you should see on YouTube. And then you stick that video, put it on your website. It's the same thing with a blog. You want to answer questions that people have online. It's the same thing. You put those questions on social media. Like people they look up those questions. You just want to make sure that those questions are tied to your content into your website, and you have a call to action. So when they read that content, they want to call you. So it's very important to produce content in all facets, but a dentist doesn't have time to sit there and write the content or even be able to understand the raw data that comes in from Google, be able to interpret it to create an effective marketing campaign that can utilize that content or utilize that raw data. So that's why they would hire someone like us, is to because they're going to take a look at all that data. We're going to take a look at all that data. We're going to figure out how to interpret it into an effective marketing plan that would then draw traffic for those specific things. So what you don't want to do is just start creating content just for the sake of creating it. It's like, hey, I'm going to write a blog post or create videos on abscesses this month. It's like, why? Right?
Right,
Like, let's look
right.
at the analytics. Let's understand what people are actually looking for in your area and then create content based on that. And that's why people would typically hire us, because they don't have time to do that.
From the standpoint of typing in a question about a condition, people do that all the time. That's one of the most prevalent things people do on the internet is to ask about a health condition. Now, I did it with my cat. My cat had some problems, and I found blogs that answered the question. They were great, but they were like this veterinary practice in Alabama. I live in Austin, Texas. Then there was another one in, New Hampshire, and it was a great office, a beautiful website in New Hampshire. So if you're doing this for a dental practice in Austin, Texas, and they are putting blogs up that respond to strategic questions that through metrics are often asked, how does the SEO send them to a practice near them?
That's actually a good question. So that has to do with Google. So there's kind of like two approaches to that.
Before we continue, I've got to give a shout out to our sponsor, NSK. These folks are the real deal. Their air and electric handpieces are not only top tier, they're the highest rated in the industry, peer reviewed by Dental Product Shopper. Their Timex Z99L electric handpiece actually scored the first ever perfect rating, and the Timex Z990L is the most powerful handpiece on the market. So do yourself a favor, check out everything they offer at nskdental.com and take advantage of their free trial by reaching out to your local NSK rep. I've heard this many times from many dentists. Once you start using NSK handpieces, you'll never look back.
One is you have to make sure that any content that you produce is optimized correctly, so that way you're not drawing traffic from across the country, but you're drawing traffic locally, right? The other thing is that when you went and Googled that, Google takes into consideration every single office that is around you, and if they are producing content that is relevant to your search. That means that Google thinks that there is no one that is near you that would be relevant to what you're searching for. So then they start to expand the geographic radius, which is why you're getting someone from Alabama or from where was the other place? New
New
Jersey?
Hampshire, New
Oh,
Hampshire.
New Hampshire, from New Hampshire, because nobody else locally is producing content that would answer those questions. And that's not because it's not because Google can't find them. It's because they're not One, the office might not even be optimizing. Like, cause if the blog is not built through an RSS feed, Google doesn't care. You can't just put content on your website and expect Google to find it or know how to properly index it. And then the other thing, we have to make sure that you are actually marketing, right? You can't just put yourself online on Google and say, all right, people are just going to come and find me. No, you have to make sure that Google knows where the content is, where you are specifically, right? So usually the three key pieces of information that you want to give Google is who you are, where you are, and what you do. So that way, anytime somebody goes online searching for something, let's say an endodontist in Texas who is going to help with kids' root canals or something like that, Google knows that, hey, you're an endodontist in Texas and you offer kids' root canals. Let's have you show up to that specific individual.
Now, on those blog articles that pertain to those common strategic questions that you would help your clients work with, who writes that blog article?
Oh, usually the client doesn't do it because
Right, that's what I'm saying.
in order to keep the RSS feed consistent with Google and to make sure that it has the proper authority with Google, you have to post at minimum at least once a month. And if you don't, then that RSS feed becomes stagnant, which means you lose your authority with Google.
So
So
yeah,
usually that
could you,
content is written by us.
yeah. So if you talked about the RSS feed, but maybe you can clarify it for our listeners. They may not completely understand. So the coding that goes in the dentist website, the dental practice website, kind of absorbs the content based on.
Yes.
So there's a space there that says, okay, in this space will be an article on clear aligners, but someone else writes the article. So the question that I have for you is, what do you mean by frequency? If I'm paying to have the article on clear aligners show up on my website, I didn't write the article. I'm just paying for the RSS feed, right?
Well, not exactly. You'd be paying for the actual service to create it. So if you tell me, as let's say, as an orthodontist or as a general dentist, that you do clear aligners, we would look at something like Google Search Console and Google Analytics to find out, okay, are people even searching for keywords that are relevant to that? And so we'll take a look and see how many keywords there are, how many impressions. An impression is just simply a view, right? You type in a keyword, you see all the listings. Every listing you look at is a view for that listing. Right. So how many impressions there are for specific keywords related to clear aligners. And so we might deem it that clear aligners in your specific area isn't even worthwhile to write about. There could be zero searches in there. So why would we spend time creating it? Instead, we might look up like misaligned teeth. Right, or different types of malocclusions, or we might type in crowded teeth or something like that, where you could still promote for clear aligners, but through a different means, different keyword choice, right? And so it would really be up to us to figure out how we would create that content in a way that would draw in the type of traffic that you are ultimately looking for.
Right. And all that content that we're talking about, somebody that goes to that dental practice website could search that content on the website too, not just through the general Google search capability. They can
Yeah,
go to
that's it.
drsmith.com and use a drop down and it talks about aligners. That same piece of content is right there for me to
That's right.
read without going through the general internet, the
That's
general
right.
search, the SEO stuff. Okay.
That's right.
And you would be someone that would help that dental practice get that content produced.
Yeah, so the partnerships that we usually have, like I'm talking like 99.9% of offices, we do everything for them. Out of all the clients we have, I only have two clients that write blog content themselves and actually send it to us on a consistent basis. And consistent, at least once a month, they will send us a blog piece of content. They've been doing that for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, right? And so it's good that they are consistent with it. I just hope that it keeps up. Otherwise, that feed can become stagnant. Now, when it comes to social media, that's a different story, right? Like if we're talking social media kind of thing, you can still draw in traffic to your website from social aspect. Usually clients are a lot more willing to produce content for something like social than they are to sit there for an hour and write an essay on a specific service for your blog content, right? Social is a little bit easier to produce content for.
If you're looking for speed, beauty, and strength in a zirconia block, check out Katana One Speed. It is a game changer in CAD/CAM dentistry. To learn more, visit curaredental.com. ChatGPT and some of these other things, Perplexity and some of these other AI free services help write content as well.
They can, but they're more like idea driven because you have to know how to properly prompt it, because it's not just write me a blog content on clear aligners, right? You have to say, write me blog content that is clinically accurate, written for Google, and is written in layman's terms so patients can understand it. Make it, and then you have to use adjectives, right? Like make it happy, yet witty and educational, but fun, right? So,
Right.
and it will change and manipulate the content. Then you have to say, don't use these specific words or include these keywords. And so you have to know how to properly prompt these AI tools, but they can be useful, but don't just copy and paste it directly from there. Like
Right.
read it to make sure that it is actually correct.
Now, you are not a dentist, but you must know a hell of a lot about dentistry. But do your clients proofread the content that you post on their website? Because I'd like to know what's being put on my website before it's posted.
Not all of them. We do have a select few that will read the content, but even the clients that we have, because I've been in the dental space for 15 years, and we're all of my staff are very good at what they do, and so it's very seldom that we would actually. Because normally what we do, even for social media posts, we would still send a posting schedule for the month over to our clients. Like literally none of them ever adjust it. They'll read it and they'll be like, "No, this is good. Send it." Right.
Dentists are overwhelmed with so many different aspects of running a practice: HR, OSHA, HIPAA, infection control, all the new gadgets that are out there, the laboratory. It never ends. It's
Yeah, they don't need marketing to be on top of that.
no. I mean, I don't practice. I would hire you in a second, Brandon, and not to patronize you on the show. I mean, based on we found, and I'm talking to the audience now, we found Brandon based on the fact that he's been speaking at a lot of major dental conventions. He draws a very big crowd. I've listened to his YouTube stuff and was very, very pleased with what I heard as far as the way he presents and the information that he backs it up with. And it is all metrics. There's no question about it. And you got to work with a responsible company. So Doctor Marketing is one that I certainly recommend. How can a dental website help turn visitors into patients? This is the question that we're going to end this one with.
Conversion. Conversion tools are huge, right? So there are different types of conversion tools. Click to call now button from a mobile device is a conversion tool. A book online feature, conversion tool. A chatbot, a web form, the ability to email, any way to communicate. Patients will choose the method and mode of communication that is convenient for them. And so obviously, if they're only available at 9 o'clock at night, they know that your office is not going to pick up if they call you. So they're going to choose a different form of communication. So while you can't convert someone into a specific patient right from an initial phone call, right, because they have to come into the office, you can convert them into a lead. A lead would be someone who just communicates with your office. And then it would be up to your staff to make sure that they've reached out, that they booked the appointment, and that they followed through and actually showed up for their appointment. So the biggest piece of advice I would say is make sure that there are actual calls to action, right? The ability to be able to convert on your website more than just a phone number, right? You want to make sure that the phone number is clickable from a mobile device in multiple places on the website, the ability to use the chatbot or book online option. The other thing that I would say is incredibly important is we have a new software that we launched a few months ago that is a lead management software. So anybody who fills out a chatbot, a web form, clicks the call, goes directly into this CRM system that tracks every single lead that comes in. And then it would be your staff's job to make sure that, yes, they converted, no, they did not. Yes, they did, no, they not, and where did they come from? So you'll actually see how effective your marketing campaigns actually are, and no lead will ever get lost again. So if you want to be able to convert traffic, just make sure you have clicks to call and that you have a lead management system in place to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks.
Now, do you have all the software on your side? So a dentist doesn't have to worry about buying or paying subscriptions to all these different services individually. You have a full package that handles anything they want, like a menu type approach.
Correct. And everything is a la carte. So not every service will be applicable for every office. So we adjust our approach based on what the office's goals are. So if their goals are to go from, 50 patients a month to 55, and they have a long time frame to do it, they're going to have a different approach than if somebody says, I want to go from 10 patients to 50 patients, and I want to do it this month, right? So every office that we approach is going to have different goals based on the procedures they're looking for, the number of patients they're looking for, and the time frame it takes to hit their goal.
Yeah. I said it was the last question, but I have to ask you this last one. So a dental assistant told me the other day that she's been working for a dentist that doesn't do any advertising. I don't even think the dentist has a website. The guy's booked solid. And it's, again, it depends on where your office is. He's been around a long time. People love him, word of mouth. I mean, that might work for an established dentist, but I don't see how a new dentist starting a practice today can survive without doing the things you're suggesting here.
Even the ones that are fully booked, they might not necessarily need to do all the marketing, but having a website even for their existing patients, it doesn't even have to be anything dramatic, right? A simple landing page with a contact form, a phone number, and just a couple pictures about you would go miles even for your existing patients or the referrals that you get. You don't use it as a lead generation source, but yeah, every new office, just to kind of flip the script, every new office should be doing something, because it's going to be really hard to compete with offices. Like, as an example, I have this one client that we've been working with for over a decade, and he shows up number one for every single search in his area. And I'm telling you right now, if anyone even tries to compete with that, we will crush them, because he has so many pages online, so much content we produced for him over the past 10 years, videos, blogs, social posts, reviews, like he shows up in all ads. And so it'll be incredibly difficult to promote yourself against people like that. And so you kind of have to think outside the box when it comes to stuff like this. But again, we don't work in every single city. So if you're out there and you need help with marketing, give us a call and we'll see what we can do to help.
Brandon, thank you very much. Good discussion. And we really appreciate your time. Have a great evening.
Absolutely. Thanks, Phil.